We worship you, we glorify you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are the great I am. That we can worship you and exalt you and glorify your name. There's none like you. We honor you, we worship you tonight, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Bit of a different topic that I've got. And you know, sometimes the Lord just puts something in your mind and you've got to be obedient to what he gives you. So if it looks crazy, praise God for that. But then when I heard Dr. Shirley's message this morning, I said, yes, Lord, I'm not far off. So I'm there. I've been looking and it's been one of those weeks that you think, Lord, this is tough. You can't just get what you want to get. And so I'd like to speak to you tonight to the man who pioneered faith. And pioneers are breed apart. They're a different type of people that goes and pioneers into the unknown, that goes and looks for things and goes involved in areas where nobody have been before. There are folks who dare to poke in uncharted territories. They're there to go into situations and places where people haven't been before. While others, we stand on the side and we nod them. We say, yes, it's good. But at a sterile distance away, we're on this side and while the pioneers are on that side, and we just say, sure, that's good. Do it, brother. You're right there where God wants you to be. But what about us? Where do we fit into the picture? We take some of the founders of space travel for an example. Three innovative men, each unaware of each other's, launched into our world in an unexpected area or era. In 1903, Russian Konstantin Tsiolkovsky first speculated that the rocket could travel beyond Earth's atmosphere. And Hermann Oberth, these surnames are difficult sometimes to pronounce, a Transylvanian German, developed the first mathematical model for space travel in 1923. In 1926, Robert Goddard, from a farm near Auburn, Massachusetts, launched the first liquid-propelled rocket. Few comprehend the impact that these three guys made into our world. It has been forever changed by the unquenchable pioneer spirit that they have manifested. They tried, they went into to find things with what to change. They wanted to change the situations around that are present in this world. Abraham, too, was a pioneer. Instead of a spacecraft, it was faith that he took into an uncharted territory by experiencing the adventure that God took him to. God took him out of his comfort zone. God took him where God had a plan for him, where God knew exactly where Abraham would fit in. And as we tell through centuries, we know the story. We know how great Abraham was when God called him to go and do a work. But you see, through the centuries, the story has never, ever ceased to ignite the human hearts, to give us that experience and excitement what Abraham had. I'm going to make a statement that says faith is simple. We make it complicated. Faith is not complicated at all. Christianity is not complicated. To be a child of God is easy if we follow the footsteps, if we follow the directions that's in God's word. It is when we neglect Christ that it becomes complicated. We neglect the word, it becomes complicated. Let us look at some people who show us the secrets of simple faith, how it worked. In the first century, the Apostle Paul reflected simplicity as seen in the parallel that he draws. He says in Colossians 2:6, "And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." Our Christian faith provides a growth that tracks our knowledge of the truth. A Christian experience helps us to go where and experience the power and the move of God. Along the way, we guard against being deceived by the lies that are lying outside, that are masquerading and crafted arguments that the world has put there for us. Our growth track. If our growth track is too narrow, it becomes narrow and we find it becomes too tight and too impossible for us to go into. We become thick-headed. Nobody can teach us anything. I know it. I know everything. There's nothing they can tell me anymore about what the word is all about, what is expected into our Christian faith. And then we find something when people see that we're in this narrow passage and we think we're just the greatest people, what happens? Nobody listens to us. They say, we know you. We know where you are heading to. We know what you're all about. And we become isolated. Now, if our track is too wide, and we find that every idea and everything that's on the market, that's what I'm going to call it, on the Christian market, that it's new exciting scenes, new exciting doctrine, new exciting plans, new exciting things that happens in the Christian faith. We waste a lot of time getting involved in all of these things. And we risk dangerous detours. We're off on a tangent, we're off this side, and we're always catching here, always examining there, always going there. There's nothing wrong with going into the Word and finding new translations in the Word. But we've got to be so careful of where we're heading to, because in that narrow, the wide road, we can get lost and become too complicated. The key that I want to give you tonight is centering on Christ. He is the one that we've got to center on. Everything that we have, everything that we want to do, is centered on him. And our grounding ourselves in the Word of God. This is the book of truth. Everything is here that we need to understand. If we follow the word and not doctrine that's floating around, ideas of men. I mean, I'm glad I haven't got TV that I can watch all these Christian programs, because every guy comes with a different thing, a different idea, and people gulp it up and they become confused because they veer off from the truth. A lot of questions about the assumption behind new ideas might be new to you. You might not understand where you are going or what's happening. But what we must do is push forward in wisdom. God said, if you lack wisdom, ask from me. I will give you the wisdom that you need. I will give you the understanding. I will give you the ability to see my word, and my spirit will lead you to understand what the word is all about. We've got to pray for that understanding. Ask the Lord, I need to understand certain things in your word. And God is faithful and he gives me revelation. Sometimes you read the same scripture verse and it just opens up in a new meaning and a new revelation that God sends in our lives. Then in the 15th century, Thomas Kempis, an Augustinian monk, felt the simplicity and purity of the measures of a person's walk with God. Simplicity is to be our intention. Purity is to be our affection. Simplicity tends to move towards God. Purity apprehends and tastes him. We can experience, it's like tasting an apple. It's like tasting something nice. We taste, we can say, we've tasted and we've seen that God is good. We've tasted and seen the move of his spirit and the move of his power. Simplicity becomes when we become motivated by a single mastering life within us, that we live in Christ, in him we live and move and have our being. Such resolve is a purpose, causes us to see God as life as intended. as God wanted us to see and live the life that He's given us. And what happens? His purposes that He has becomes our own. He said in His words, I've got a purpose, I've got a plan for you. I know exactly where you're going to head at. I know because I see the beginning from the end. So many times we get involved in ourselves and we want to plan things ahead, but we forget that He knows already our tomorrows and our future. He knows this year, next week. He knows exactly where His plan and His purpose is for us. And so many times we plan, but we plan outside the will of God. We plan outside where God wanted us to be. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7 says, trust in the Lord and do trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your righteousness at the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. We've got to wait upon the Lord. He said, wait upon me, and I will renew your strength. They that call by my name, if they wait upon me, will know exactly where they've got to go to. They will know exactly the plans and purposes I have for him. In the 20th century, Anne Morrow Lindbergh, widow of the famed pilot Charles Lindbergh, sought simplicity. Perhaps her words echo through some as we've had said, thought before. She said, I want first of all to be at peace with myself. I want a singleness of eye, a purity of intention, a central cause of my life that will enable me to carry out these obligations and activities as well as I can. She says, I would like to achieve a state of inner spiritual grace from which I could function and give as I meant to function in the eye of God. She says, I have learned an experience by many examples and by the writing of countless others before me, that certain environments, certain modes of life, certain rules of conduct are more conducive to the inner and outer harmony than others. All these explorers are godly life exhibited lives of the simple faith. When you're an explorer and you go out, you've got to have faith in God. You've got to have faith, you know where you're going and know what you are doing. Removal of a striving, a refusal to have several selves, a determination to maintain the central core of the person in all simplicity. Faith gives us new frontiers. I thought, when I wrote about the frontiers, and then I thought about the spacecraft and I couldn't remember his name. They always went out in the space, and all frontiers that they wanted to go and explore. Pioneers come from the same stock like you and I do. A pioneer is not different to who we are. They know exactly they're going to experience something new. And we are on the same stock, we are from the same ability, that if we want to pioneer for God, going to do new things for God, we have the ability to do that. Pioneers come from the same stock, like I said. Every one of us, we have got a home. We've got a hometown. Some of us have got parents. Some of our parents have passed on already, but most of you have got parents. You've got choices to make in life. So your life is settled. You've got all these things that hold you back and that hold you here at the tight and things that you've got so important in your life. Later Abraham, later called Abraham, was no different to the pioneers. He was born in Terah. He had two brothers, was raised in the city of Ur, and he married Sarai. He was settled. He was a man that knew exactly where he was going. He knew he had a family. He had a hometown. Everything was going well for him. Abraham's life, like anybody else's, had two complications. First complication he had, that his wife was unable to have children. And the second one, God told him to leave his hometown. And I thought to myself, we all settled in our work, we all settled in our lives, we know exactly what we are at. Yet God has to come at night and say to me, Frank, it's time to pack up and go. And then when I sat and I thought, Lord, you know, it's so surreal. I think it's 1982, 83. I went to work, beautiful morning. Everything was, well, I'm going to work. So about 10 o'clock, I got a phone call. Frankie must come to the office. So I thought, what did I do now? Came to the office, they said, sit down, have some coffee, chatter. They said, we've got bad news for you. I said, bad news? They said, yeah, you've been transferred to Deal Crawl. I didn't even know where the place was. Right in the bush, 25 kilometers other side of Carltonville, in the bush. And I said, I got onto the phone. The rain was at work. I said to Levy, are you seated? You've got to sit. And when I say that, she knows there's trouble. I said to her, we've been transferred to Deal Crawl. 2 weeks, we've got to move. They said in 2 weeks. And then I counted that it's been four times that I've been transferred in the time on the mines. They give you 2 weeks to pack up and go. And a lot of questions were asked. We went to Lorraine to tell her boss, they said you've got to work a month's notice, 4 weeks' notice. I said, 2 weeks and my wife is gone. We've got to move. We've got to pack up and go. And to me, it was a work situation. And what if God tells me tomorrow, or tell you tomorrow, it's time to go? You've got to be a frontier. You've got to be a pioneer to go and open up new things. Go to areas, you know, that people have never been before, or new things that are new to you in your life. Are you going to be willing like Abraham? Say, yes, Lord, I will go. I don't know if he queried God. I don't know if Abraham was struck because he was settled in that place. They, in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, says, and now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing unto others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God gave Abraham a promise that Abraham took. You see, God was calling Abraham for a geographical transplant. To move from an early life, the easier life that he has ever known, to a direction that was vague. He didn't know where he was going to. But God's promises were clear. That God said, I will bless you. I will give you the things that you desire. We know, when we look at the scripture, the biggest desire Abraham had, because his wife couldn't have children, was to have a son, to have children of his own. It says, so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Although his roots were entrenched in earth as a familiar area, highly civilized culture, Abraham, age 75, moved his family to an unknown place. He said, yes, Lord, I will pack up. I will take everything, and I will move. He didn't even know where he was moving to, but he knew that God had a purpose and a plan for him. He knew that God knew exactly where Abraham was going to go. He just took his faith, and he moved forward for God. The thing that caught me here was, he was listening to a God that they didn't even know about. They didn't even know who God was, because they had their own gods. But he was obedient to the voice of God that spoke to him. Abraham obediently leaves his home, and God repeats his promise by adding a visual confirmation. Now lift up your eyes and look at from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Taken from Genesis 14b to verse 16. Abraham was sure because in his house he had Eliezer, who was born in his own home, a servant. He thought that this guy was going to be the heir that Abraham was going to have. But what did God do? God set him straight. God said, this man will not be your heir. But the one who shall come forth from you, your own body, he shall be your heir. God promised him a son. And Abraham took that promise as a promise from God. Okay, the expansion to another foreign country was exciting to Abraham. But what gave him the most ecstasy was the renewed promise of God to have his own son, to have a child of his own. God's promise had been reinforced in ways Abraham couldn't have imagined what God was going to plan back in Ur. Yet he had followed God before the promise even seemed unattainable. When God told him, move, I want you to move out, he moved. He took the thing. He took the promises before God confirmed what God told him. So many times God speaks in your life, in my life, and we get the promises from God, and we hold back because we're not so sure. But the thing is, when we hear from God, we've got to be obedient to the call that God has put upon our lives. Yet he had followed God. Like Abraham, our understanding to the fullness of God's design will blossom before our eyes. When we take God on his word, God on his promises, that will just explode into beautiful things that God has prepared for us if we will follow the plans that God has for us. The interesting thing that I write down is here about faith. Faith is not a respecter of age. So many times us, like I call myself the old fossil. And Lorraine always laughs at me. She laughs at me every day because now lately when people drive in the traffic and they drive at 40 kilometers an hour in an 80 kilometer zone. And I say, come on, Grandpa, you must move now. You make me impatient. Grandpa, you must drive. And Lorraine says, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon, Grandpa. Why are you so impatient with the people? And faith is like that. It doesn't look at you if you're 24, 23, or, okay, I'm still not where some of the other brethren are. I only made my 67, so I'm still young. But we sometimes think our faith is finished with us. But God can call you and me to something deeper. And it was so meaningful this morning when Pastor Keith mentioned Sister Ruth. Ruth is going out to new frontiers. And I thought, yes, Lord. It doesn't matter how old we are. It's how available we are for the move of God. How available we are for what God wants you and me to achieve in our lives. Because at the end of the day, it's not what I want. It's not what's good for me. It's what's good for the kingdom of God. You know, I would, like Lorraine said, we saw at the college yesterday, a youngster got engaged, and they went to Israel. And in Israel, he had the ring in his pocket. I mean, they went through customs, and he was so frightened that they found the ring in his pocket, and he was getting in trouble with the customs agency. And Tian arranged that they were this one place, and Melissa was not there, and he arranged everything beautiful, and then they brought her in, and he had the heart, and he went on his knees, and he proposed. And she cried, and I thought that was so beautiful, that the things that happen, things that are nice, and things that are beautiful in our lives. And these are the things that we've got to understand, that God's purposes and plans for us, that even if you go to a foreign country, you can still see the things and the beautiful things of God. And this is so important to me, that doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your age is, no matter your situation, you've got to be available. God does not care who or what we are, doesn't care what we look like. He doesn't care, but he said, I want your availability to take you and put you in places where I want you to be. I saw the DVD, I'm using examples now, but this guy was a vice chairman of a massive bank in America. And his life was dull. His wife didn't have anything that they wanted to do things for God. what God, the Lord spoke to him through the Spirit, and he said to him, I want you to move. And he resigned as the vice chairman of the company. And God said, go to China. And they went, they had two children, two small children. They packed up and they went to China. They arrived in the village. There's a community place. And they stayed in this flat building. And they didn't know where to go to. They didn't know what was going on. And they prayed, the Lord, you brought us here. What now? And what they saw in the community are just children that are disabled. And they started to care for them. And within a year, they showed you how the Lord blessed them, that from a little room where they had to a big building where they were busy looking after the ill-treated and the handicapped children that were there in that area. And now God just blessed them with the work that they were doing. The thing is, like, over and over again it comes to me, we've got to be obedient to what God wants us to do. We've got to be obedient to where God says we have to be. As adults, Abraham and Sarah just what they had to do. And they continued their pursuit for God. His will, his promises to be fulfilled. God changed their names from Abraham to Abraham. From exalted father to Abraham, the father of the multitude. And Sarai meaning my princess to Sarah the princess. 90-year-old man and an 89-year-old woman with faith of little children, wanted a little child of their own. But faith encouraged the investment that they made in God. Faith encouraged them to do the work that God wanted them to do. We know that an investment, Josh and Pastor Keith, Josh is the financial guy, you have to have an investment to get an interest yielding at the end of the time, a profitable return. Godly faith is an investment in our life. And that investment yields great dividends when we invest in dividends in our life. So what did Abraham and Sarai do? They invested their lives for what God wanted them to do. And their returns have continued to multiply even to this day. The compound interest of unlikely dividend of a son. They had to get the heir. And Isaac became what God wanted him to be. An heir to things that are important in their lives. Galatians 3 verse 8 to 9 says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed, that those who are of faith are blessed from believing Abraham. One day, when Abraham was sitting in his tent, you know, and we find that some days surprises happen that we cannot predict. Abraham's day started calmly, everything was fine, he looked at everything going right around the tent, everything was 100%. And he did not understand that everything went well in the morning, but in the afternoon, he would be discussing the life of a baby that would be born into his family. And what happened was, when he was sitting there, three visitors came. And one was, actually two were angels and one was God. And I looked at them and I said, that's a theophany from theos, meaning God, and phaneros, meaning manifestation. God manifested himself. And he came to Abraham and he said to him, yes, I know what your will is all about. They were unexpected guests. He didn't expect and experience God to arrive, the angels to arrive. And Abraham was a generous man. He embraced them. He looked after them. He yielded some food for them. He made them feel hospitable. And he did what he had to do. And so what happened was here. They typed my pages one up, one up and one down, so I have to find out where I am. While eavesdropping on the conversation, you know, like women always do, they always listen to what's going on. And in the conversation between visitors and husband, Sarah heard the news. I will surely return to you at this time next year, and beyond Sarah your wife shall have a son. Now we're going to talk to the ladies. If you sit in a situation, all your life you've been wanting a son, and someone came and told your husband, you're going to have a son, how would your reaction be? Just like Sarah, she would laugh. I think you would also laugh because of joy at what God has done for you. And you would respond just like she did. But we also understand that Abraham laughed because he was happy and he was joyous about that. And the woman of 90 and the husband of 100 named the child Isaac, translating laughs. The thing you have to do is invest your trust in God. Invest your life in God. And his dividends will be astounding to you. His dividends will be things that you cannot understand. We know that Wall Street offers a variety of investments, opportunities. But those investments require money. They require finances to be invested. Yet money is not the only resource that's got to be invested for dividends to be negotiated. Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 3 says, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy, eat, yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Yea, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God says, it doesn't matter what you have. Come to me. Invest in my work. Invest in my kingdom. Invest where I have a right to change your life and change your situations around. So what they did, they invested their lives. They invested everything they had for the kingdom of God. They believed God even when the terms seemed bizarre. The terms might have frightened them to think that God was blessing with a son. When they looked at their bodies that were old and they realized they couldn't do anything. But faith is courageous. Faith is something that explodes within you, that makes you excited, that gives you the ability to break down barriers, to break into new areas in your life. Sometimes it takes courage to follow God, to follow the Lord with what he wants you to do. It takes courage to know exactly that I'm going to be a breaker for God. I'm going to break down walls and break down situations. But faith equips us to do what God wants us to do. Faith equips us and makes us courageous for what we have to do. Job 28 verse 28 says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. What does God want? He wants pioneers of faith. Have you ever thought only the acceleration of exploring uncertain territory? Have you ever felt that the Spirit draws up in you when you do something different, what other people haven't done? When you go into a house where people need healing and you pray for somebody and he's raised up and he's healed, you feel the explosion within your spirit where God moves in your life. We might do something for God that nobody else has done, and you feel that explosion, and you just feel like you're walking in the clouds. You feel excited about that. Abraham did. With God's word as his only map, Abraham blazed a trail for faith for generations to follow. He's an example for us. A man that goes out and brings things into being. In Romans 8, 4 verse 18 to 21, Paul writes, in hope he believed, in order that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what he has promised, he is able to perform. I first thought, go back and go to these, we go to the book of Romans and we go to Hebrews, we look all about the, the heroes of the faith. I could have brought a lot of them out. Men and women that went out and did things for God because of their faith that they had in Him. But I just wanted to concentrate on Abraham, on this one thing. And the question that came to me, is God calling you to uncharted territory? Is there time when God will call you and say to you, it's time for you to move? It's time for you to do something new? Time to go and do something that nobody else has done? Or that we need someone to do things? Is God calling you where you're going to go have a new job, a change of work environment, a change of your situation all around about you? A set of new relationships. We build a new relationship that you have. You say, God, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm going. This is what things are all about. To build new things and see new people. A new geographical location. You know, that's something that's always difficult for me is when my children believe that they had to go to UK. They go geographical change. 10,000 kilos far from home. And it breaks my heart at times when I long for my granddaughter and I long for my daughter. Thank you for technology. But they went out in faith and they believed that this is what God will bless them to do. God might change your environment and say to you, go to Israel, go to England, go to Portugal, go wherever God wants you to go to break new geographical areas. Not it's easy to go to Pretoria, even going to Ventersdorp. But the thing is, go where God wants you to go. A new opportunity in ministry. That God is opening up the doors for you to go and explain and go where God wants you to do. God wants you to go. Because He will look after you. He will see to your needs. He will fulfill the callings of God in your life. That He will fulfill those things that He has called you to do. Because He says, I know my purpose and plans I have for you. That there's new things for you. There's new ways to explore the things that you need in your life. If so, if God speaks to you, don't be afraid to pack up your bags and become a pioneer for God, like Abraham did. The path may be uphill. It may be difficult. It might be fearful. It might be frightening. But once you're at the top, that view of the summit, when you look from the summit and you look at the view below you, you'll see how beautiful it is. Now God's purposes and plans will work out for His glory, for the kingdom of God. So tonight, that's the message I felt in my heart to bring to you. That God needs people to pioneer into the unknown. To go and step out in faith and do things for God. Go pray for people that need your prayer. Go lift up your work that you've got to do. Do something for God that will be able to say, yes, I've broken through the barrier of self-reliance. I've broken through the barrier of saying, I cannot do it. Because the calling of God is no respecter of person. God will not return His callings in your life and my life. He will bring us things to the places where we have to go and conquer for the kingdom of God. The kingdom builders. So God can honor that one day. That when once we stand there in front of Him in the judgment seat of Christ, we will hear a big noise. And we're all the multitude of people that has been changed because we've been obedient to be a pioneer for God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Keith.